Worry is a terrible set of chains around the ankles of the believer. And the Lord speaks to his disciples here that the chains might be loosened and that they may be rid of these chains of worry. And Christ is going to show his disciples, he's going to show us as well, how to loose these chains. Strong reasons, strong evidences that we would not take worrisome thoughts, that we would have not these anxious thoughts pervading in our lives. If we hear his teaching closely with the Lord's help, he will show us how to be content, how to rest, and how to be at his feet, even as a content child, not cumbered about with many worries, not careful for all things, but instead content like a child. It's not godly for us to go around worried, to go around choked with worry, to go around stressed, out of sorts. It's not godly. It's not the way that the Lord would have us to live. And so our passage is the antidote. What the Lord gives here is the remedy for these things. It begins in verse 25 with the word therefore, which means there's a connection between his words here and what has come before. How Christ has taught in the previous section of Matthew 6, he's just ended with the teaching about mammon. He's just ended with the teaching about how you cannot serve both God and mammon. So there's a connection here. There's a connection here between those who would serve mammon, who would strive after the riches of this earth, and would be always calculating ways that they could have more and more of the riches of this earth. There's a connection between them and the person that is being aimed at in this section. Because the one who would serve mammon is a prime candidate for someone who would also serve the God of worry, and who would be distressed about all the things that they feel that they need. And so the Lord says, don't serve mammon in the first place. Don't pursue these earthly riches. It's all bondage. And then turns and begins to teach, don't serve worry. Don't run after all the things that the Gentiles run after. Don't serve anxiety. If you have a lack, don't let it rob you of your contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be as the ones who would want to store up treasures on earth, who would want to have all their contentment coming from the things of this world. No, they will be instead plagued with worry. They will be instead plagued with this never-ending sense of what if it all leaves me? What if it all goes away? And so we should not have these chains around the ankles. No, we should know that it's vanity to be filled with worry about these things. As Christ has taught in John's gospel, whoever sins is slave to sin. Service of sin, service of worry, service of mammon, it's all bondage. It's all bondage. And we're told also in the Word of God, we saw it in 1 Timothy, that those who are wealthy, they're susceptible to this kind of bondage, particularly. They're susceptible to it. There's caution there. We're told by the Lord to consider the rich fool, the one who said to his soul, my soul, take comfort, take ease. And the Lord says, all would be required of him that very night. The Lord has warned us about the rich young ruler who went away from the Lord, very sad because his possessions were great. And so there is a caution about all of these things found in the words that Christ gives the disciples here. Christ is teaching us about anxious and unbelieving worry about the things of this earth, about the things of the world. Whoever is a slave to mammon, as we've said, there's a connection here, is a prime candidate for this kind of worry. And so what does Christ do for his disciples to break them free of these chains? He tells them simply, do not worry. He commands it to them and gives them many proofs and many reasons. He says, take no thought for your life. Not to obsess over the things of the earth. Don't indulge yourselves with anxious thoughts about what will we have? How will we get what we need? All of these things, they rob us of our joy in the Lord. And so in this passage, as we dig into it, we'll see that Christ gives us six reasons why we should not worry, why worry is incompatible with the life of the follower of Christ. Six reasons that we'll see here. And so let's dig right into them. The first reason is this, that life, the life that God has given us, is more than food and clothing. This is what Christ says in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And so Christ is telling them not to worry about these trivial things, because the life that God has given, it's more than meat, it's more than clothing. Our lives are of more value than the food that we sustain our lives with. Our lives are of more value to the Lord than the clothing that we sustain our bodies with. Of course, life is more than these things. But that's not always how we think, is it? Sometimes we get trapped into thinking, what will I eat? What will I wear? How will I live? Thinking that these things, these trivial things, are what sustains us. They're not. These are not the things that sustain us. Your life is more than food. Your life is more than clothes. We're being told by the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told to direct our attention instead to the things that God has done, the things God has given us. It's really an appeal to God's sovereignty. God has given us life, and will not God give with life all the things that are necessary? Will not God supply? This is the trap that the Israelites fell into as they wandered through the wilderness. They said, oh, that we would have died back in Egypt. Oh, that we would have, that we could go back to Egypt and have all these trivial things. And the Lord's message to his disciples is, no, your life is more than these things. And God will supply and God will sustain. God has marked out all our days and he's numbered them all. And he will preserve us. He will supply us. Now, our death will happen. He has ordained it. It's already set. Our death will happen unless the Lord comes before that time. But it's, if not, the Lord has ordained our death. And the Lord will sustain us until that time. Now, this is not a license for us to be reckless and to be negligent and to ignore the commands that God has given about preserving our life and the life of others. But we don't need to have worry about it. We don't need to allow worry to enter in. We don't need to have this other view of our lives, the view that it's these things that sustain us. And we need to worry about these things, because if we don't have these things, then we're sunk. This is not the right attitude. It's not attributing the right thing to the Lord. How do we see the Lord? Do we see the Lord as a bumbling farmer, and us as animals that he's just left alone, that he's just left in the stockyard, and he's not going to remember to take care of us? Is this how we see the Lord? This is preposterous. This is not the right view of the Lord. And so the life is more than food. The life is more than raiment. And the Lord hasn't forgotten. The first reason that Christ gives us is this. If we can trust God who gave us life, then we can trust him to preserve our life and to keep our life until the moment of our death and to provide us with what we need. It's that simple. Life is more than food or clothing. The second reason that Christ supplies is that God cares for lower creatures. He's dispelling the worry of his disciples in this way by saying God cares for lower creatures. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now the first reason was an argument from the greater to the lesser. Your life is of more value than what sustains your life. But this argument is one from the lesser to the greater. Consider the birds of the air. They're not lacking. They're well fed by the Lord. And what does Christ say? Ye are of more value. Are ye not better than they? It's an argument from lesser to the greater. If the Lord makes sure that the birds of the air have enough, then how could he forget you? How could he forget you? You are much better than they, says Christ. Would God be like one of us who would remember to set the parking brake of our car, but not remember to take the baby with us out of the car? Would he be like that? That happens. People have done that. But would God be like that? Of course not. The baby is of far greater value than the car. And so this is what the Lord is impressing upon us. You, the Lord's people, are of far greater value than birds. And the Lord takes care of the birds. And so the Lord's teaching us that we are not to worry. The birds are cared for the Lord, by the Lord. And yes, the birds, they have to go out and find food. They're not just able to open up their beaks and food comes to them. There are still means here. And so this is not a license for us to be slothful and to put our feet up and lay back and say, well, the Lord will bring me whatever I need. The birds still go out and search for their food. There are means that the Lord gives us, but the principle is true. The Lord sees to it that the birds have what they need, and in the same way, the Lord will see that we will have what we need. He'll use means. We must have gainful employment. We must not be slothful. We must work with our hands what is good, and then we will have all that we need. Now, Christ continues on in this same reason, and he's giving reasons against worry in verses 28 to 30. He's showing us even more convincingly how misplaced worry is in the kingdom of God when we think about lower creatures. Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so another lesser to greater example that Christ gives, the lilies of the field, who surpass Solomon for their beauty. And Christ says, look at them. Just as he said, look at the birds of the air. Now he says, look at the lilies of the field. They surpass Solomon in their glory. And the Lord did it. The Lord provided it for them. Now, if the Lord can do that for the lilies of the field, surely he can give you the competent portion that would sustain you, that you would need. Surely he can do this. The Lord is abundantly able. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's abundantly able to provide what is needful for us. There's also a spiritual application we can make here. The Lord clothes us in numerous ways, not only with the things that we wear on our bodies, but the Lord clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. And in that way, we surpass the lilies of the field. We surpass Solomon in all of his glory if we are clothed spiritually with the white robe of the righteousness of Christ. And so this is a spiritual connection that we can bring here. And what does it matter if we have holes in our physical clothes? What does it matter if we don't have the nicest of clothes if we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ? And so there's spiritual things that are being alluded to even beyond what's only physical here. If we are clothed in that righteousness of Christ, we have the best of clothing. We have the wedding garment. We have the ability to stand before the Lord, to stand before Jehovah, and not be consumed if we're clothed with that righteousness. So why worry? Why dwell and fret about what is passing, what's trivial? Which leads us to the third reason that the Lord gives us. The third reason is that worry changes nothing. Christ's third reason is here, found here in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature. Now, this phrase has been translated in different ways. It allows for some differences in translation. Some take it to mean which of you could add any height to your stature. Some take it to mean who could add even an hour to your length of life. An idiomatic phrase, who could add an hour to your life. Well, either way, the lesson is the very same. Worry doesn't change anything. It's fruitless. It's unproductive. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? The language here is a bit like what Christ said when he was teaching about swearing. He said, neither swear by your head, because who among you can make one hair from being gray? You can't control it. It's not possible. It's outside of your control. It's pointless. And so whenever we feel like we are just needing to worry, when we're compelled to worry, we just feel like we can't stop. We can't imagine there's something that's happening. We can't imagine not worrying about it. We would need to stop and say, what can I change by worrying? What's it going to do? If I continue in this unproductive worrying, there comes a point at which I am giving way to unbelief. Not trusting in the Lord Jehovah, but instead serving a god of worry, a false god, obsessing about things, feeling like we cannot help but worry. This is not becoming of our profession of the Lord Jesus Christ, obsessive worrying, and it does nothing. Here's what Paul writes to the church in Philippians 4, 6, 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Paul says, don't be careful. Rather than fretting, rather than worrying, take it to the Lord. And so Paul says, take it to God in prayer, in supplication, and thanksgiving, remembering all the things that the Lord has already supplied and all the ways in which he's already answered prayer. This is a remedy for worrying. But nothing can be changed by fretting. Nothing can be changed. Listen to how the psalmist writes it in Psalm 127. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, or to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And so it's vain for us to be pacing the floor, consumed by worry. No, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Seek his face, seek his wisdom and guidance. He has stores of abundance. He has stores of wisdom, and he gives all to all liberally who ask him. And so we would not pace the floor late into the night. No, instead, give it to the Lord in prayer, and he giveth his beloved sleep. It's vain because fretting changes nothing. You cannot add one cubit to your stature by taking thought. That's the third reason. We now come to the fourth reason that the Lord gives. The fourth reason is this. Worry is worldly. It's worldly. We see this in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles, meaning those who are strangers to the Lord, those who do not know God. What do? They relentlessly seek after what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we clothe ourselves. They relentlessly seek these things as if this is the be-all, end-all. This is all there is in the world. This is what they must have. And they're so focused on these things, they ignore the greater gifts of God. And so Christ is saying to his disciples, don't be worldly. Don't imitate the unbelieving world, the Gentiles, and worrying about these physical needs as if these are the be-all, end-all. These are the greatest thing that we could be seeking for. It's not right. It's not godly. And it's not in keeping with our profession for us to be like this. Now, if you're ungodly, if you are a stranger to God, then that's your primary concern, the things of this earth. And you worship many idols. If you're ungodly, if you're a stranger to God, you worship many idols. And these include the things that you eat, the things that you drink. Remember Paul saying they serve the god of their bellies. And so you serve many idols. And among these idols is the idol of worry. If we stop and think about it, among them is the idol of worry. This is what pricks the unbeliever as they seek after idols, as they seek after the pleasures of this earth. They know that their idols are vain. Deep down, they know. So that creates worry, and they obsess, and they lament, and they have great sorrow and great anguish over lack and these things. And it shows, once again, that their idols are vain, including their idol of worry. And there's no real security in it. And so why would we, who know the living God, why would we seek after this kind of idol? Why would we give in to this obsessive worrying about these things? There's no rest in it. There's no security in it. It would be a shame. It would be a putting on of the chains around the ankles for us to seek after this, the things of this life in this manner, grasping for them with all that we have. This is not as the Lord has called his people to be. And so Christ gives us this reason, this fourth reason. It's worldly to worry like this. It's not in keeping with the things that God has provided for us. It's worldly. We come now to the fifth reason. Fifth reason is this: God knows what we need. The fifth reason not to worry is something that Christ has said before. He's teaching it here again. God knows what we need. Verse 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see how that works? God knows what we need. He knows we have need of food. He knows we have need of clothing, place to live, different supplies we need to raise our families. He knows we have these needs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so there's a faith that comes first. Trusting in the Lord, trusting that he gives according to his abundant stores, according to his mercy and his grace, he gives. Now, the Lord is a good father who knows what we need. Imagine if I came home one day and I found my children, and they were all on the side of the street with signs, and they were begging for food. And the sign said, we're hungry and we're cold, could you please help? And I said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this, children? And they told me, well, Daddy, we didn't know if you were going to bring us food. We didn't know if you were going to bring us clothing. We were worried. We were scared. Now, would not that be a great reproach upon me that my children came up with that attitude? Wouldn't that be a reproach upon me if I had neglected things, if I had been negligent? And earthly fathers, they may do things like this. But you see, God is not like this. He's not a father like that. He knows exactly what we need. And God provides what we need. And he does it in his way and his time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, says the Lord. Faith is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And take your mind away from all the things that the Gentiles search for and search after, because God knows what we need. One commentator put it like this: at the very least, Christ is saying that the kingdom of God must replace food and clothing and needful things in our list of priorities. so that the kingdom of God comes first, and God knows what we need, and here it comes. The Lord will supply it. It says, all these things will be added unto you. And so whatever energy the world puts into worrying over things like food or clothing, Christ says, no, put that energy into the kingdom of God. Put that energy into seeking after the Lord and pursuing after Christ and growing in grace and studying of the Lord. It's not something to be pushed over to the side. No, after I've got what I need, after I've got my food, after I've got my clothing, maybe then if there's time, I'll go over and I'll study the things of the Lord. I'll pursue to grow in grace. No, Christ in his kingdom first, with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our soul. First, the kingdom of God. And not to give way to worry. Not to give way to anxious thoughts and fears about what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? No, first the kingdom of God. And the Lord says, all these things will be added unto you. The Lord will give. The Lord will sustain. This brings us to the sixth and the final reason we have why we should not worry. And it is this. Worry is a waster. Worry is a waster. So this is Christ's last reason. We already know that worry changes nothing. We already know that it's fruitless. And now Christ tells us that it's worse than that. It's worse than pointless. It's wasteful. Verse 34, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so Christ is pointing out, it's wasteful. It's extravagant for you to take additional thought, additional worry over the things that you don't even know are going to come to pass. Tomorrow, the day after, it's wasteful. Now think of all the many great losses to worry. The loss of time. The loss of time, as we said, staying up all hours of the night, pacing the floor, worrying about what will happen the next day, the day after, when that time could be spent in prayer. Or in some other kind of productive work. There's a loss of time. There's also a loss of focus. Worry distracts us from what we think. It distracts us from the things that are in front of us, the things that need our attention. Our families, our work, our walk with Christ. Worry distracts us from these things. And then they'll also worry. Worry causes us to lose desire to serve the Lord. If we give way to worry, if we allow worry to come over us and to drown us, we will be resentful, we'll be bitter, and we'll be in no frame to serve the Lord, and in no frame to worship him and to go after the Lord. If we obsess about things of this life and what's going to happen the next day, no, if we do that, we're on the verge of becoming like those who serve mammon. And the Lord says, ye cannot serve both God and mammon. And so if we give way to worry, it's going to mean a loss of zeal. It's going to mean a loss of devotion to serving God. And so there's all these wasteful aspects of worry. And finally, worry is wasteful because if a person gives themselves over to it, if a person is utterly consumed with it, they become paralyzed. They won't do anything. That person may say, well, I can't help myself. I don't want to be like this. I don't want these anxious thoughts, but they grab hold of me. I can't shake them away. This is a real experience, and we're not making light of that. We're not saying that it's unreal, that it's made up. It's a real experience. But what do we say? We say that there are a number of things in the Word of God that we're seeing right here. There are a number of things to break you from that kind of worry. And Christ has given these reasons. He's given six reasons. And he's saying, consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies. Your Father knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. Take no thought for the morrow. These things are powerful, they're effective. And they can break someone of these things. Now, it's not easy. It's challenging. But this is what we say. First and foremost, we say, take heed to what the Lord has said. And the Lord will use these things as you take heed to them. And he will break you of that consuming worry. Now notice Christ, he does acknowledge the evil of our days in this final statement. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He acknowledges that it's hard. He acknowledges that each day brings some sort of evil or some sort of trouble. It's true. He's not waving it away. It's true. Each day brings some sort of evil, and we will need to tackle that every single day. And so he's not telling us to ignore them, pretend like they're not there, but his lesson is this. It's enough for that day. Tackle it one day at a time. Seek the Lord for the grace that's needed that day to address the evil of that day. Don't compound it. Don't make it into a snowball by worrying about the day after, the day after, the day after, the day after. God gave the people manna in the wilderness. When they tried to gather up more than that, what was needful for that day, what happened? Filled with maggots by the morning. They had to gather more that day. And so there's something in that. There's a lesson in that. The Lord gives us grace day by day. This is why we pray to the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. He gives us grace as needed, day by day. He does this to strengthen our faith in him. What would our faith be if he gave us grace for the year or for the decade? No, he gives us grace for the day. And so don't compound your worry, but seek God for the grace of each day to confront the evil that is in that day. Well, Christ has given us these six strong reasons why we should not worry, not become overwhelmed with worry. And this is connected to serving the Lord God. First and foremost, not serving other gods, not serving mammon, not serving the gods of this world, so-called. This is connected to this. We must be single in our service of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God to have these chains, these ankle chains of worry, be broken. The world says this. The world says, I'm worried. The world says, I want more than I need. I want to store it up. I want enough for today and the year and the year after that. I want more than I'll need in my entire lifetime. I want more than I'll need in 100 lifetimes. That's what the world says. And why would we be this way as the children of our Heavenly Father? God has set us free from that kind of bondage, that kind of worry. And these are spiritual things that the Lord is teaching us in this passage. It's spiritual. You see, it's only of limited benefit to hear all these things and to be sitting here as someone who is still a stranger to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only a very limited benefit. You may hear these things, you may hear these reasons, and you say, yes, that's right, yes, I can believe that, yes, I can understand that, yes, that's helpful, but it's a very limited benefit. You may use it to keep the worry at bay for a time, but unless we receive these words and this wisdom spiritually by faith, the worry is going to flood right back in, like the house that was cleaned of the Spirit, and then it went to a waterless place, and seven more came in. It's going to flood right back in. And so to receive the benefit, to receive the wisdom here, it has to be received by faith. It has to be understood by faith, and we have to live it by faith. And when we do, we are of all people the most blessed. We are of all people the most secure, even as a little child at the feet of our Heavenly Father. God knows what we need. He will not fail to give it to us. All that we need, He'll give it to us abundantly. He'll give it to us according to His goodness, according to His mercy, according to His wisdom. Now, we may be met with all sorts of disappointing setbacks, stressful situations. The Lord has not promised that everything will be rosy for us. In fact, we're promised that all who live godly in the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. We may be met with setbacks. We may be met with loss of income. Maybe someone will lose their income, their employment, because of their commitment to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we will be met with a disaster. Maybe we will be met with sickness, poor health, as we have been. And these are things that will test us and will try us. But if we have taken on board what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us by faith, these things won't overwhelm us. These things won't cause us to despair. These things won't rise up above our heads. If we've taken on what He said by faith, we'll say, God reigns. He is on the throne. He knows our needs, and He will supply according to His riches in Christ. And so because of this, because of this knowledge, we should never become so attached and so accustomed to this or that standard of living, to this or that state of health, to this or that position, this or that thing in this world, that we would become resentful. We would become bitter if the Lord were to take it away from us. No, instead, we should be thankful for what we have. Everything we have, we should be grateful, but not so attached to it that if the Lord were to tug at it, we would become frantic. That's unbelieving. That's ungodly. What if the worst should happen? What if the worst should happen? What if we should find ourselves really going with no food? Really going with no clothing? Really at death's door? Has God's word failed? Has God's promise fallen to the ground? Even then, I tell you, brothers and sisters, even then, God's word has not failed. Even if we did go without food, even if we did go without clothing, His word has not failed, because He is at work delivering us in His own way, and He may deliver us by death. He may deliver us. He may set us liberty by death, but He'll still set us at liberty. He'll still provide. His word cannot fail. No matter what, whether we live or whether we die, we are Christ's. He cares for us. He provides for us. He is our great shepherd. He is our foundation. He is our hope in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He intercedes for His people before the Father at all times. And so because of these things, how could we worry? How could we become consumed and gripped and overwhelmed with worry because of these things? Knowing that even in death, we are not separated from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, the Lord is good. The Lord will see us through whatever comes our way. We are to trust in Him, trust in Him, trust in Him. I'll leave you with this from 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's rise as we call upon the Lord in prayer.